First of all, let me say thankful for the opportunity to come and be with you. I dearly love your pastor, and I've always loved him as long as I've known him, and appreciate him and his family. Now I'm going to tell you how much I love you. I love you a whole lot. I drove through Atlanta to get here. That says a lot. I'll go ahead and tell you. I can think of a lot of things I'd like to do, but driving through Atlanta is not one of them. No. But I'm thankful to be here. Also, I'd like to thank you. I know your pastor. I know that he mentioned my name quite often since last May the 30th. When I got sick, on June the 8th, I had to have a liver transplant. The story is absolutely amazing, the whole story. That I was offered a liver 1 hour from the time I was approved by insurance. That's unheard of. But God. I died on June the 8th. When they placed me on that table, my liver had quit and everything else was following. I was basically dead. I couldn't have lived much longer without that liver transplant. July the 3rd, I died again. And you can evidently see that I'm not dead now. And it's not by man's wisdom, but by the power of an almighty God. Amen. And Brother David is, well, he said we had a quiet conversation. It was basically a one-sided conversation of my wife and I relating to he and Sister Bonnie, my experience and some of the things we've been through. And I will tell you, that God showed himself to me in a mighty way. And he asked me, he said, Brother Ricky, says there's a difference now in you than before all this happened. And I said, yes, sir. I appreciate the little things. I appreciate all the little things. You know how much I appreciate the opportunity to come and speak to you this weekend. But you also don't know what kind of a burden it is to stand before the Lord's people and attempt to preach the gospel. Jesus asked Peter one time, said, Peter, you love me? He said, yeah, I love you, Lord. He said, feed my lambs. He asked Peter again, Peter, you love me? Peter said, Lord, you know I do. He said, feed my sheep. He asked Peter again, Peter, you love me? And I think Peter got a little frustrated. I get a little frustrated. My wife has a daycare at home, and some of the kids there will ask me the same question 100 times. The answer was no to begin with, and it's still going to be no. And if you ask 98 more times, it's still going to be no. But Peter asked for the third time, and you remember what he said? The Lord told him one more time to feed my sheep. Why didn't the Lord tell him to go out and make sheep? Why didn't he tell him to go herd them in there? To beat them in there. No, because the minister's job is to feed the sheep. That's the minister's job, is to feed the sheep. That is Brother David Cawthorn's number one duty here at Angier Church, is to feed the flock of God. That's it. He's the overseer. And he is to feed them. And I understand and I appreciate, Brother David stole some of my comments. I thank you who wrote me a card, sent me a text message, sent me an email. I thank every single one of you. That's very encouraging. It makes a person want to come to know that you're praying for the service, praying for the minister. But let me tell you this. I hope you hadn't quit. Don't quit on me. Continue to pray. Because there is no preaching from the pulpit unless the Lord is with the man. Amen. You remember that John sent two of his disciples. They asked Jesus, art thou he, or should we look for another? You remember that? Matthew chapter 11, he said, you go ask Jesus, art thou he, or should we look for another? Because he was in prison. That's where John the Baptist was at that time. He was in prison. What did Jesus tell those two men that come to see him? What did he tell them? He said, you go back, and you show John again these things. The deaf hear, the lame walk, the dead are raised, And the last thing he says, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. You know what that means? That's just as much a miracle for a man to preach the gospel as it is to raise the dead or lame to walk. Same thing. It requires the same power. You understand that? It requires the same power. I'm sure Brother David would agree with me on this. Ministers often struggle with what they're going to preach on. Struggle a lot. You know, is this of the Lord or is this of me? I struggle with that. And my wife kind of gets on me quite often because she says I'm out in left field. I'm in la-la land. But a lot of times I'm thinking. I do think every once in a while. I try to think. I try to meditate on Scripture. But I try in my best to seek the Lord's counsel that what I have in my heart and my mind is of the Lord. I was studying earlier in the week, and I had a subject come on my mind. And I said this is what I would speak on if the Lord just continued to lay it on my mind. But you know, I like reassurance, Brother David. I don't like you, but I do.
Amen.
I like the fleece to be wet and the grass dry, or vice versa. I'm like the prophet there. I want reassurance. My wife and I were coming up Interstate 75. You ever heard of that? I'm not going to tell you what I actually call it, but I don't like it. It did get me here, though. Anyway, it was the most beautiful rainbow I've ever seen in my life. Most beautiful. I'm talking about bright colors. Brightest I've ever seen. The biggest I've ever seen. I got pictures, by the way. If you'd like to see it when church is over, I'll be glad to show you a picture. I don't have a picture. I'm sorry. I told you a story. I got about 1,000. Because my wife took my phone. And my wife's click, 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 click. That's what she does. In fact, I've got about 270,000 pictures on my phone and 269,000 are hers, are my girls, are of them. But how many of you know what the rainbow is a symbol of? You know what it's a symbol of? It's a symbol of a promise that God made. A promise. How many of you, friends, first of all, I'm an emotional person. I'm a real person. I see things realistically. And I know that I fail, and I have failed, and I do not like it one bit. I don't like when I fail. But have you ever made a promise to someone and you didn't keep it? Have you ever done that? Is there a reason why you failed in keeping your promise? It is with me. I have a reason or excuse for every time I have not lived up to a promise that I made. I made a promise to Brother David that the Lord would bless, I would be here this weekend. And even having to drive through Atlanta, I made true to that promise. But there's times that I have failed in the promises that I made. Maybe because of illness. Sometimes it's out of things beyond my control. Things I can't control. Sometimes it's things I could control and just choose not to fulfill that promise. You know what I'm thankful of? I'm thankful my God is not like that. God fulfills all. If you don't get anything tonight from what I said, listen to what I just got through saying. God fulfills all of his promises. All of them. He is not slack concerning one promise. I often say, if God is slack concerning his promises, then he may be slack concerning all of them. And you know what we're doing this afternoon? This evening, we're wasting time. That's what we're doing. But I don't believe this afternoon that we are wasting time. I don't believe that. I believe what the Bible says. I believe that God is true to his promises. In Numbers chapter 23, verse 19, it says, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? You know what he's saying right there? He's God. He is God. Moses is saying, God is God. And he is not slack concerning his promises. He can fulfill every promise that he makes. And he makes promises to us temporally, here in time. And he makes promises to us eternally. And you know what? There are some promises that he's made that hasn't come true yet. But I got news for you. They're going to come true. His son is going to return, and he's going to collect that, to gather that he paid the price for on the cross of Calvary. That's a promise. If I didn't believe that the Lord was coming back, that promise that he made, if I didn't believe that, I got news for you. I would not be here right now. But I believe that. How can God keep all his promises? How can God keep all his promises? You ever consider that? First of all, he's not a man. First of all, this God is not a man. But I think there's four things that I know of. I'm not saying that I have an exclusive list here. But I see four things. First of all, he's true. He is truth. Okay? He cannot lie. Doesn't say he won't lie. Says he cannot lie. Friends, there's some things God cannot do. And there's one. He cannot lie. I don't know about you, but I've told a few lies in my life. What about you? And if it was to save my hide when I was a kid, I'd definitely do it. Brother David knows my dad well. My dad was a biblical man, godly man. He believed if you spared the rod, you spoiled the child. Yeah, he believed that rod of correction. Old Rick had more than his share of it in my family. Got two sisters and a brother, and I took more than all three of them put together. I deserved it. Not going to say that my dad abused me and picked on me. I was a bad kid. But you know, sometimes if he didn't see me do it, I try to lie my way out of it. God cannot lie. And he's made promises. And he's made the promise. He's going to fulfill that promise. We need to. What I am trying to do tonight is to bring you comfort. That's what I'm here for. In Isaiah chapter 40 verse 1, he says, comfort ye my people, saith your God. The gospel ought to bring comfort. If you go to a place and they're preaching and they're scaring you, friends, you're in the wrong place. I never get scared by hearing the preaching of the gospel. I don't get scared. Oh, it may make me think of some things, but I don't get scared. I don't think, oh, I better tighten myself up or I'm going to bust hell wide open. I don't think that way. God is truth. He is true. Everything he says is true. Everything he's promised is true. That is his very nature. That's his nature. He cannot lie. I'm a school teacher, was a school teacher by trade. My first 22 years, I taught at an attendance center there in Mississippi. An attendance center, if you don't know what an attendance center is, it's K through 12, the whole school. You got elementary school here, you got little bitty tater tots running around, and you got the high school over here with big kids running around. I moved my last 6 years. I taught at an alternative school. Okay, that's for bad behavior kids. We also had what they call fast track. Fast track. And the funniest kid I've ever met in my life were the kids in our fast track. We called him just T. Letter T. That's what we called him. That was his middle initial, and that's what we called him. I do not think the boy could tell the truth if he held a gun to his head. He just couldn't do it. Everything he said was false. Our principal had him in the office. We had caught him red-handed. Had him on video. We had him. Coach asked him, said, our principal, he was a former coach. He said, T, why did you do it? He said, Coach, I didn't. I didn't do it. He said, son, he said, Satan never get a hold to you. He said, yes, sir. He said, you go to church? He said, sometimes. He said, you ever tell Satan, get thee behind me? He said, yes, sir. He said, he jumps in my back pocket. Or Satan didn't leave him. He was right there. He didn't flee for a season. He was still right there with him. He couldn't tell the truth. But God can't lie. This boy couldn't tell the truth. God can't lie. You know what? That'll make you excited because all the promises he's made in Christ are yea, yes, and amen. So be it. Yeah. It's not yea and nay. It's yea and yea, if I can put it that way. Oh, friends, let's understand that this evening that he is truth. His promises are true. There's another thing. He's immutable. Friends, I'm going to tell you, I change and change a lot. If you see me wearing the same clothes this weekend, it's because I had a malfunction a while ago when I was getting dressed. I brought enough suits for each day, but I had a malfunction with one of the brand new suits that I have. So I might have to wear this one again. So don't say anything. I think the reason I had the malfunction is after my surgery, I weighed about 207 pounds. Now I weigh about 247. I'm getting back up to where, and I tell my wife, I can't get any higher. That's it. I got to go back down, go the other direction. But see, I changed. Okay? God doesn't change. He says in Malachi 3:6, I am God, and I change not. I am God, and I change not. You know what that means? God didn't change his mind. He doesn't repent. That's what it says here in the verse we looked at in Numbers chapter 23. It says that he's not a man that he should repent or change his mind and go in another direction. Mm-mm. God stays the same. He is immutable. He doesn't change. It says that in Hebrews 13:8. It says there, Jesus Christ. And you say, well, Brother Ricky's talking about God. God and Jesus Christ are the same. They're different, but they're the same. If you don't believe it, read and study your Bible. It tells you there. It says that Jesus was God manifest in the flesh. Jesus told some of himself. He said, I and the Father are one. See? He doesn't change. How many of you have changed? I go and tell you, I've changed since the last time I was here. I'm a lot lighter than I was then. And I hope I can get back to where I was recently. I got to cut out some stuff that I like too much, like bread and one of my bit worst habits, Dr. Pepper. That's one of my worst. It used to be Coke, but COVID changed my Coke habit. And I'm talking about Coca-Cola, by the way, okay? I'm not talking about something else. Make sure we get that. My wife gets on me when I say stuff like, she says, anybody think you have a drug habit? No. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about in a red can called Coca-Cola. By the way, I'm from the South, and if I say Coke, that is anything that's carbonated. Okay? Now, up north, they call it a soda or a pop. I don't know what you call it. I call it a Coke. Dr. Pepper's a Coke. I want a Coke. Well, not in a red can. I want a Dr. Pepper. Anyway, let's go on here. He's immutable. It says in James 1 and 17, James 1:17 says, let me turn there. Thought I had it, but I've lost it. Let me turn to James 1:17. I can't even get the verse. I know the whole verse, just can't get it started. You ever do that? I do it too often. James 1:17. And my brother quotes this, by every time you ever see, every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness. What's variableness? A change. There's no change. He doesn't change. If he makes a promise, he sticks to it. I'm going to tell you, I wish our country would do the same thing. I wish the people of our country would do the same thing. A lot of people today are making promises, but they're not keeping them. They're not keeping those promises. I had a gentleman one time that he was running for superintendent. For supervisor. I don't know what you call him up here. Supervisor takes care of the roads in our area. And by the way, if I ask you a question, that's different if you tell me what you're going to do. If you tell me you're going to do something, I expect you to do it. Especially if you bring it up. Now, if I bring it up, I ask you, I may be putting you on the spot. But this time I drove a bus for our school and had to park it in my yard. And he comes to see me, he's running, and he says, Mr. Myers, I'm going to tell you what. I get your vote. I get elected. He said, I'm going to put you a place to put your bus. You can back it up and get out of your driveway. People can get through. I said, well, the one we got now promised me that. He's been in 8 years and he hadn't done it. I'll vote for you. Guess what happened? He got elected. 4 years later, he decides he's going to run again. He comes to my house. Guess what he asked for? He asked for a vote. And I said, let me ask you a question. You got a place for park my bus yet? He said, no, but I'll do it this time. I said, as far as I'm concerned, there won't be a next time. And I probably harsh, because I fail keeping promises myself. Okay? I fail. But God doesn't. He doesn't change. He's immutable. Now, let's see where I want to go next. Let me find my spot. My God's omnipotent. Here's number three. You know what omnipotent means? He has all power. If my girl's got into the bind right now, I don't have the power to be home in an hour. Can't do it. Can't be with them. But I know one that can be. My God can be with them. Oh, he's got that power. Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel chapter 4, he got to bragging on himself. He said, isn't this great Babylon I built my own hands? And you know what happened, all right? You know the curse that God put on him. And he was out in the field eating grass like a cow. He had long claws. He had feathers for hair. Heard Elder Michael Goins, y'all probably know him, heard Elder Michael Goins preach one time. He said it's the first case of dreadlocks in the Bible. But he's out there. Can you imagine? I don't know about you, but I'm one of those guys that do a lot of weird thinking, so to speak. I'm thinking about he is the king of Babylon, and he's out there in the field like a cow. What about a fire? What do you think about our leader if that's what he was doing? He was out in the field eating like a cow. That'd be pretty different, wouldn't it be? But you know, Bible says he came to his senses. He came to himself. And you know what he said? In Daniel chapter 4, verse 35. Let me turn there. Daniel chapter 4 and verse 35. He says, verse 34, says that at the end of the days I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praise and honor him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. Verse 35, and all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? He says he's done whatsoever he wanted to do. The psalmist writes, my God is in the heavens. He has done whatsoever he has pleased. Why? Because he has all power. He can do those things. His arm is not short. He is always there. He's omnipresent and he's omnipotent. He has the power to do these things. He has the power to keep his promises. Sometimes I don't. I've made a promise and I'm sick. I don't feel like doing it. I can't do it. But you know what? God can. God can keep his promises. And as a church, we ought to embrace those things and realize just how good the Lord has been to us. My God's been good to me. Oh, he's been good. I tell you how good he's been to me. I'm just thankful that he hasn't given me what I deserve. That's how good my God's been to me. My dad told me one time, my dad was a minister. Actually, he co-pastored with Brother David at the Church of Baton Rouge. My dad said, there was a man that told him one time, he said, all I want in this life is justice. Justice. I heard somebody say mercy. I appreciate that. Who said that? Because that's the exact word I'm trying to get to. How many of you want just justice? Let me ask you a question. You say, well, you know, I think I want justice. What do we deserve? How many of you can raise your hand and say, I deserve to be in heaven? Tell you, I can't. Not by my own power. But I tell you, I believe I will be there one day. And it's because of the mercy of my God and his power. Friends, you understand this? If the gospel saves me, guess what's got to wake me up if I'm dead? The gospel. Not going to happen. God is going to wake me up, friends. When Jesus comes back, he's going to speak to me just like he did Lazarus. I don't know if he's going to call me by name, but I know one thing. All those out here in this graveyard, they're going to come out of there. I know you're a coach, right? I remember talking to you last time I was here about coaches. We ain't more teachers in the building. You're a teacher? My wife was a teacher. My kids always try to come up with stuff to just throw me off a little bit. They want to see me react in a strange way. I was in class one day, and one of my kids said, Coach Myers, what are you going to do if you're standing close to a graveyard and all the bodies start coming out? I said, I'm going to shout hallelujah and jump. They wanted me to say I was going to be scared and start running. That's what they wanted. They wanted me to think about some kind of zombie apocalypse or something. I'm telling you, when these graves start coming out, my friends, we're headed home. Amen. We're headed home. And it's because of the power of God and a promise that he made and the power that he has to keep that promise. Amen. Oh, friends, we ought to shout when we hear about that. We ought to thank God for it. We ought to thank God for the little things in our life. We ought to thank God for the big things. I thank God for safety getting here. I do. I thank God for protecting my wife and I all the way here. I don't know if y'all know it or not. Maybe y'all have done in North Carolina. But we got a bunch of crazy folks down where I live driving. They ain't worried about you. They worry about themselves. And don't get in their way. They'll run over you. I had a guy on a motorcycle trying to run over me today. And I thought, you're not going to win, pal. But he was sure trying to do it. Shook his fist at me when he passed me. I hope he got to where... Where he was going is all I can tell you. My wife made a statement to me. She said, Ricky, we might see him up here on the side of the road. I said, they'll be scraping up off of it. Gotta be careful here. I was going a little faster than 70. Speed limit, okay? I'm not going to tell you how much, but a little bit faster. And he passed me like I was sitting still, weaving in and out of traffic. Our God is in the heaven. He has done whatsoever he has pleased. Nebuchadnezzar said here, I praised him and honored him that liveth forever. Oh, he blessed the Most High. And he said, he doeth according to his will. I get amazed that people say that God wants to save you. God wants to do this. I don't like you, but I serve a different God. I serve a God who does. He does. I have a doing God. Not a want-to-do God. I have a doing God. He does. And he does whatsoever he pleases. And if he wants to touch your heart, my friends, there's nothing that can stop it. Not a thing. I've had people say, well, what if I don't want to? My Bible says that his people will be a willing people in the day of his power. Didn't say it, but it says they will be. They will be a willing people in the day of his power. When he spoke to the grave there at Lazarus, did he get down on his knees and say, Lazarus, I'm begging you, please come forth? He said three words, Lazarus, come forth. And what did Lazarus do? He came forth. You know why? He's got the power. He's got the power. And let me tell you this. Brother David made a joke about these young preachers. I'm not young. And my body tells me that. If I stop abruptly, that means I'm having a hard time breathing and I'm wore out. Ever since my surgery, I had major issues in my lungs. And you'll see me. You'll see me just stop. You may say, well, he wasn't finished. Well, I was finished in one way. Because I can't hardly breathe. And I'm trying to get my breath back right now. My God has power. And he can do whatsoever he pleases. That's the third thing. And let me tell you one more. He is truth. He is immutable. He doesn't change. He is omnipotent. Means he has all power. And the fourth one. Oh, and I like this one. My God is faithful. My God is faithful. My God is faithful. He's a faithful God. What he says, that's exactly what he's going to do. Go back and read the Bible. I encourage you to read God's word. Read it every chance you get. Read it. He made a promise to Moses one time. And because of Moses' disobedience, he told him that he would not go into the promised land. Let me ask you a question. Did Moses go into the promised land? And by the way, that's not heaven either. That promised land is not symbolic of heaven. Moses did not go, or he wasn't, let me put this in the words I'm trying to get here. He wasn't banned from heaven because he's disobedient. Mm-mm. No, he was not. Oh, he was just banned, if you will, from going to the land of Canaan. That's what he's banned from. You know what? We can do things in our life that separate us from the land of Canaan. And I believe with all my heart, Brother David, that we're in Canaan right now. Amen. I believe the church is representative of Canaan, or Canaan is representative of the church. Amen. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. My God's faithful. And if I say 1 Timothy, it may be 2 Timothy. I do that quite often. But it says, can God deny himself? No, he abideth faithful. I'm not getting that quote just right. But our God is faithful. What he says he's going to do, he'll do it. My wife and I, we hadn't been married very long. And we were in a restaurant there in our town where we live. There was a woman over there with a small child. About the size of Sister Kayla and Brother Stephen's youngest daughter there. And she was putting butter beans on the tray. There's a baby chair, high chair. And the baby would take it and throw it. She'd put another up there, the baby would throw it. 19 times, I counted, the mom said, if you do it again, I'm going to spank you. 19 times. Guess how many times that baby got spanked? Zero. Friends, if you make a promise to someone, you try to keep it. That's my point in telling you that story, is you try to keep it. You know what? You know why? If you don't keep your promise, then people are not going to trust you. When you make a promise, they're not going to trust you. And let me clarify that. People know you're human. Okay? I was supposed to have been at a church meeting a couple weeks ago, and I was sick. I could not go. I wanted to go. Supposed to go to another meeting the third weekend in March. Some of you probably know Elder Heath Williams, church that Brother Heath pastors. I couldn't go because my chauffeur, my youngest daughter, had been exposed to COVID. And I couldn't go. Not that I didn't want to go. I promised Brother Heath I would come, and I wanted to go. In fact, I was upset about it. I was upset. And my daughter said, Dad, we'll even go. Well, we were supposed to stay with a young man by the name of Elder Josh Mason and his wife and their two children. And you know what? If I got COVID, that's one thing. If I give it to you, I don't like that at all. I don't like it. So we didn't go. But God is not slack. He's not slack concerning his promises. See, God is truth, and he's truth personified. He cannot lie. My God's immutable. He doesn't change. I had a friend of mine when I was growing up. His team never lost. His team never lost. You get it? His team may be one team to start with, but if they started losing, he was for the other team. He was always for the winning team. He changed. The Reds could be playing the Mets, and boy, he was a Reds fan until they started getting beat. And then he'd tell you, I'm for the Mets. The Mets would start getting beat. Oh, I'm for the Reds. You know that. You know I'm a Reds fan. That's changing. Our God doesn't change. And you see, he's promised to love you throughout eternity. Well, guess what? If he changes, he may not. And I believe that if he loves you, you're going to be in heaven and immortal glory one day. If he loves you. Oh, there's not going to be one person in hell that my God loves. Not one. That's not love. How many of you have children? How many of you have children? How much do you love them? I'll go ahead and tell you. One of my favorite persons in the world is myself. But you know what? There's people I love more than myself. Yes, indeed. When I was younger, I guess I should have said that, I really loved myself. But you know, I got married. And I love my wife way more than I love myself. Not a thing I wouldn't do for her. I got three daughters. And there was nothing I won't do for my daughters. God, my God loves me more than I love my wife and my girls. My God loves me more than I love the churches that I try to pastor. That's how he loves me. And that love doesn't change. I'm going to close with this. Tell you how fickle man is. When I was in the fourth grade, Valentine's Day, I had a girlfriend named Mary Jane. My mom had bought me Valentine's, Brother Stephen. And I picked out the seven best ones. And I was going to give to my girlfriend, Mary Jane, Valentine's Day. I had one for each of the other my classmates. Rick wasn't the smartest guy in class, but he did do something that made a lot of sense, especially now. He wrote everything in pencil. He didn't write it in pen. When I got to school that day, guess what the first thing my girlfriend told me on Valentine's Day? I don't like you anymore. On Valentine's Day. Broke up with me. Broke my heart on Valentine's Day. How many know what I did? I erased it. And her name was Mary Jane. I wrote Lydia, another girl in our class. See, my love changed. And it changed just like that. My God doesn't change. And that's why he keeps his promises. And Lord, we'll bless them all. We're going to look at some of these promises and how the Lord keeps them. May the Lord bless you. Amen.